the air. I always about say over the air. It's on the air. On the air, Wednesday, December the 30th, 2020. 2 days left in the year of 2020.
Which one of those is right?
On the air? Well, broadcasters always say on the air.
Is that right?
We do. We don't say, hey, I hear I am over the air.
Okay.
We say, I'm on the air.
Okay. Yeah.
But I always of the title of the show as over the air, but it's on the air.
It's on the air.
It's on the air.
Yeah.
Now, tomorrow we have a little bit of a thing. Now, we don't know yet. You might be doing the show from 10 to 12 solo and doing a version of Swap Shop.
Okay.
Or I might. We don't know yet.
We better know soon because it usually takes me all night to plan
well,
for
what,
our show.
What would be a New Year's Eve show that you would have socked away?
I don't have anything socked away, but we might talk about the people that have passed away.
You know, that'd be interesting. Yeah. You know, because nobody's done that on this station. Maybe has counted down the stories or counted down the deaths. You know, so many people died.
Yeah, we did have a lot of people that died.
CBS, the Sunday morning show, did the year in review of the well-known people who had died this past year. And because it's there were so many things going on, like elections and pandemics, you didn't realize all the people who had died in the last year. So maybe that's a good idea tomorrow.
Well, are you going to help me out? Because I don't know these people nearly as well as you do.
Well, I don't, sure.
I mean, you don't have to go and do anything else?
I don't think so at this point, not to my knowledge.
Boy, he always leaves me way up in the air like this.
We could sing like we did last week. We could sing some more.
Oh, no. Yeah, we're not singing anymore. You know what? I got a compliment about
that. See, there you go. There you go.
Because I had begged for a compliment, so I got one.
You got one. That's all you need. You just need one. But we'll have programming tomorrow from 8 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon.
Yeah. Tomorrow's New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
My daughter's birthday.
Is that right?
Yep. Saved me $750 in tax deductions.
That's a nice thing. That's a nice thing.
It was a lot better than the blanket they were going to give me for her being the first baby of the year.
Now, so James Anderson is not coming in tomorrow?
I don't believe so because he came in early this month.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he came in the second week of December.
Really?
Yeah. I better check on that.
I don't think, no, because Fred Malone came on the second week, because this is the fourth week.
Yeah, okay, then.
And I was on last week with you, and the week before that was Fred Malone with the presidential. I thought James was on in November.
Yeah, I'm really not sure. I really assumed that we weren't going to do the show. That's why I probably, I thought for sure I had him on either the first or the third.
He might have been, but I don't remember it. I remember Fred calling in.
Well, I'll ask, and if he expects to be on, I will give you a voicemail or a Facebook mail message and tell you.
Well, it's interesting because I like I said, I know tomorrow is the fourth, or the last Thursday.
Yeah,
I know that last week I was on with you.
Yeah,
so that would have been the 24th.
Yeah.
I know that then
Fred was on
the week before via telephone.
Yeah, and I think the week before that, I think James was on, but
well, he might have been.
But we'll have to
figure it all out.
Yeah, we'll figure it
Who
out.
Who else are the are those the only two regulars on the Thursday show?
I have not picked up on everybody. We had before, not because I didn't want to, it's just that I was lazy.
Well, I think that's pretty well it.
Well, he had
George, but
George was on.
I think George is kind of sheltering because of the pandemic.
And I hope he does. And I think George was kind of flighty. We weren't quite sure whether he was going to be on or not. And I really haven't gotten, I have tried not to bother him. Because of COVID.
I think that was it.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, there were no other regulars.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right. I think he did have, didn't he have the mayor on?
No.
Every other month or so?
No. No.
Charlie didn't have him on. Okay.
No.
Right.
I think that was it.
Never mind.
Yep, that was it.
Okay.
You know, I tell you, Fred would be good as a year-end wrap-up person, too.
Yeah.
Because he knows these people.
He does.
And also knows what happened in the Marion community in this year. Because I think that's also important to remember. Because it's been a unique year for Marion.
Well, Fred usually listens, so Fred, if you want to be on tomorrow, give us a call.
That's right, you can be on as well tomorrow. It's just, it's an interesting time when we wrap up a year, because it's this would have been a very big year for Marion, and I'm not sure it wasn't, but the pandemic certainly spun things around.
It was the 80th anniversary of what, again?
The 80th anniversary of broadcasting starting.
Broadcasting in Marion,
Yep. And 100th anniversary of President Harding being elected.
That's right, yeah.
And I think it was our, you know, although I'm not sure about this, the centennial of something. But we really don't
there's
know.
There's a two-year kind of floating thing in there, isn't there?
We really don't know. Yeah. Depends on which book you look
at. Yeah, I guess.
So it's one of those things. But history is important.
Yeah.
To look back where we came from and where we're going. What do you think, aside from the pandemic and the politics of 2020, what were the big stories?
Aside from the pandemic.
Yeah, because they were constant.
Yeah, and it's hard to look around them, isn't it? I mean, the politics and the pandemic. Aside from that, wow. All I've thought about, well, being a political type of animal that I am, I've been watching the politics probably more than I have ever watched politics before. Well, all the cancellations, like the school cancellations, the popcorn festival, I'm going to cry.
Bratwurst festival.
All these cancellations have been big to Marion. I'm not sure too many people. I did notice, by the way, that the Valparaiso decided not to have their popcorn festival, which is the same week as ours. And that's where Orville was from. I don't know about Brazil, Indiana, which is where he was born. There are three popcorn festivals, the Brazil, Valparaiso, and Marion. And there probably is more than that, but those are the three more famous ones. I don't know. Boy, you catch me. I really feel stupid because I'm sure there are things that I'm forgetting. Those are the local things. Well, one thing that I find very interesting is that we have now gotten back into space travel with our own, what is it? It's by Musk, SpaceX, right?
Yeah, I don't know what stories have really been covered up this year because of all the coverage that went other places.
Yeah, it's a good question. Now, are we still doing space army or space?
I don't know.
The president wanted some sort of space force.
Yeah, I don't. Was Star Wars ever done? That was supposed to be a big deal in the 80s. I don't, you know, that was talked about, but then nobody really said anything.
Star Wars.
Yeah, wasn't that the idea that Reagan wanted
put with the, that you could shoot crap out of the air.
Yeah, but was that done?
I don't think it was. I think they found out it didn't work, what they thought they were going to do. They were going to shoot 2x4s up into space.
Is that what they were going to do?
No, I don't know what they
I don't know. You know, I wonder if stuff like that was done because they never really said it wasn't, and it was a big thing that he talked about a lot there for a while.
Yeah.
But it never really was talked. You know, I would think if you were going to do something like that, you would do it in secret.
Yeah, I think you definitely would do it in secret. Now, there are a lot of things I think that they just float trial balloons on. I think government does that on a regular basis, don't you?
Well, probably. Yeah. Probably. But, you know, I think a lot of them go on that we probably don't know about.
Yeah. Whatever happened to Trump's son? What's his name? Barron. Whatever happened to Barron? I haven't seen Barron in a year. Did they lock him away from COVID?
I thought he had it. At one point.
Did he? I thought so. His dad?
Yeah, not too long after that, I think.
Yeah, okay.
I think he's okay, thank goodness.
Yeah, but I haven't seen him anywhere.
Well, I think little kids like that, you know, under the
age of... not little. He's pretty big now.
I think any under 16,
okay,
which I don't think he is.
I don't think so either.
I don't think you put them in front of the public eye.
Yeah, you try not to. Now, Obama's children were very visible, but I think that's because they always hung with their mom, and their mom was hugely visible. Oh, that's an interesting point, and I'm going to bring it up on my show, Progressive Life, is that what's the name of the hang on 1 second, and I'll tell you what it is. The organization that does so much polling is oh crap! Excuse me. Can I say crap?
I don't know.
I just
you said it a lot.
I do say that a lot. And I can't find it here. Anyway, there were two people selected by a poll. It wasn't a Google poll, but anyway, by a poll, famous poll. The man of the year was Trump. And the woman of the year was Michelle Obama. I'm not sure they'd like to be in the same room together accepting those awards. But kind of interesting that those two would be number one in the category. Now, number two amongst the men was Obama, who was number one last year. And Biden was number three. Now, probably Obama would have beaten Trump out if Biden hadn't won, I think. But because Biden won the nomination, I think that's how he got in there. And then I'm trying to remember who the women of the year were, and I can't remember. I think maybe Melania was one of them. She was not number one because Michelle was. But anyway, kind of interesting who people think are men of the year, women of the year. And I feel really bad for the president because he really wanted to get the Nobel Peace Prize and has not. As a matter of fact, he's even posted a Facebook page or some page, website page, with the Nobel Peace Prize in the lower right-hand corner of his page as if he did win it. But they pointed out last night on news that it is not the Nobel Peace Prize picture. It's a Photoshop version of it. It doesn't have his picture on it. It has Nobel, but anyway. Interesting. I felt sorry that he took it so hard.
Well, at least he won the poll.
Yeah, he won the poll. Yeah, and I still can't find it. But
is this the most admired poll? I know that comes out at the end of the year.
It might be. Yes, I think that's what it is. Most admired, but I'm trying to remember who... who put it on there, but I don't have it. Anyway.
It's interesting to me that almost always the president is the most admired person.
Quite often, yes.
Uh-huh. You know,
I think that would be natural because it's like in PR, one of the things you do is you try to get yourself or your product or whatever you're trying to promote mentioned as many times as you can, because that makes it popular. Whether it should be popular or not, if it's mentioned, it becomes popular. But, and I know I cannot. Oh, here it is. Nope, it isn't. Never mind. I would have thought Dr. Fauci would have been one of the most admired this year, but he was not in the top three.
You know, he's kind of been left off of everything. I thought he, or something to do with the pandemic, might have been the Time Magazine Person of the Year, but
yeah,
not so much.
Who was the Time?
It was Joe Biden.
Joe Biden and Harris. Right?
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know.
That was kind of an interesting pick.
I'm sure
that got under the president's fur.
You know, I'm not sure what that was, I think, out of the blue for a lot of people.
Yeah, it was for me.
As being the pick.
Yeah.
Because I would have thought the year that the pandemic came to America, I don't know how you could have avoided that. Even if it was just the people who have died, a lot of times they'll do that with the person of the year.
Do they?
I've seen that in the past.
Is that Time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time Magazine.
Well, and how you could not at least put Dr. Fauci pretty high up, but now he was kind of put on the back burner by the president, so maybe that hurt his chances. I don't know.
Well, we'll see what happens. What are they doing in New Year's Eve or Times Square tomorrow?
Well, I know Cooper Anderson and I can't remember the guy that does it with him. They're doing their show, and that's kind of taken over for the in popularity from the.
But nobody will be allowed down there, right?
I wouldn't think so.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
New Year's Eve, a different New Year's Eve. We'll take a break here. We'll come back in 60 seconds with much more program. Don't you dare go anywhere. Hey, Charlie. Did you know that Mayor Jack Kellogg has a great collection of political memorabilia?
Yes, I did know that. But do you know what his most prized political possession is?
No, Charlie. What is it?
Hillary Clinton's hairbrush. Never been used.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Three, two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
And we're back here on the air on this next to last day, New Year's Eve Eve. 2020. By the way, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If there's anything you'd like to talk about, 740-383-9944. Don't forget the big tribute to Martha Douse going on in downtown Marion tomorrow, New Year's Eve, starting at 2 p.m. in front of the Brickyard and Topped, and we'll be going, it's a line dance, the Cupid Shuffle and several other line dances between 2 and 3 p.m. The streets will open back up at 3 o'clock. It, again, is on Main Street in front of the Brickyard and Topped, and the streets will be closed. The street will be closed between Center Street and Church Street. And if you would wear, I know there's, I think it's red or black. If you can wear red or black, that would be much appreciated. The tribute to Martha Douse tomorrow, 2 o'clock. You got to be there by 1:55, though.
Are they going to have a parade as well? Be a parade if it's going to be.
I think it's
that
a line dance, big line.
Just
dance.
The line dance.
Just okay. The line, and I think it'll be the Cupid Shuffle, which was the one I think Martha liked to do the most in the last few years. But then there'll be other ones.
Just the name of that makes me smile.
She was such a smart lady. You know, she was a very, very talented, smart woman. And I, you know, there have been many conversations about her this week with people who knew her and I've been around, and. You know, she was a real mover and shaker in her day.
Okay.
You know, I think sometimes when people live to be 89, 90 years old, you know, the last few years they slow down a little bit and aren't doing necessarily what they were doing, you know, when they were 40 or 50.
Yeah.
But, you know, boy, she was a force. Anybody would tell you that.
But she threw her baton up in the air and Charlie thought it was a falling star.
It was coming. It was coming. Absolutely.
I did look up, by the way, and that was the Gallup Most Admired poll. Another notice of that that's interesting is that Barack Obama held the most admired position for 12 years.
And he's been bumped now by Trump.
Yep, been bumped by Trump.
So what's the list? It's Trump, Obama.
Trump, Obama, and... Oh, and Biden. Those are the top three. I'm trying to find the top three women.
Yeah, the top three women.
Let's see if I can find it. Maybe not. I can't read it. It's too small.
The most admired women of 2020.
Here's the list of most admired men. Trump, 1. Obama, 2. Very close. A difference of 1 vote. Biden, 3. Dr. Faust was 4. The Pope was 5. Bernie Sanders was 6. Bill Gates? Yeah, Bill Gates. This is very small print. It's hard to read. Bill Gates was next, and then LeBron James from Ohio. And then finally, Dalai Lama. So,
how nice.
I'll see if I can find the women while you're talking.
The women would be interesting to know who the most admired women were. I think the person who held that the longest time period was Hillary Clinton.
Well, here it is.
Here it is.
Number one was Michelle Obama by four votes over Kamala Harris. And then Melania Trump was number five, tied with, there are several here. She was solidly third on her own. And then Oprah was next. There's got to be a way to make this bigger. Hillary Clinton was after Angela Merkel, who was right after Oprah. And then AOC was next. Queen Elizabeth II. Coney Barrett, third. And Greta Thunberg was fourth. That's interesting that the new Supreme Court judge was put in there.
Isn't that interesting? Hillary Clinton is still...
Yeah, she's still in there. She's fifth, I think it was.
Fifth?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got the sitting first lady. It's interesting that the new first lady coming in is not on the list.
Well, she's there, but third.
Is she?
Melania Trump.
No, I'm talking about Biden's wife.
Oh, the new, yeah. No, yeah, well, it's a mess up because she calls herself doctor.
Is that what happened? No, it's a very interesting thing because you've got the last first lady there, and you've got the current first lady there, and you've got the first lady from the 90s there, but no Laura Bush, no...
Well, that's a good question, yeah.
Yeah, no Joe Biden.
Yeah. Now, Dr. Jill Biden, and she is a doctor. She has her doctor of education or something like that. She is a PhD, so she deserves the name doctor. But she hasn't really been in the limelight because she continued while she was vice president. She was second lady. She continued teaching, so you didn't see her very much. So maybe that's held her back.
Well, I think it's interesting. A vice presidential candidate on the list.
Yeah.
Kamala Harris.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, she's kind of an outstanding woman. I think that I love that. Now, I told you a long time ago that I listed her and Joe Biden back in November of 2018. That was who I figured would be the duo for the Democrats. Never believing that I was going to be right, but it's kind of interesting. She's always been really outspoken, and I like outspoken women. You should meet my wife. I think you might have.
I think I've met her.
Yeah. Yeah, she'll tell you what she thinks.
Well, it's okay. You know, I think I don't know why more people don't. I wish people...
Don't speak out?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Why not say your opinion? But, you know, I think you, in the converse, what you have, just because you say it doesn't mean people care.
Yeah, and I think if you're going to say... You know, I always didn't like the term, I tell it like it is, because you don't necessarily tell it like it is. You tell it like you think it is. And I think we always have to remember that maybe we don't know what we're talking about. We think we do, but maybe we don't.
Well, you know, that's why I and I've said this all year long now. This started maybe late last year. We sound off the alarms in this country too much. Everything is a disgrace. And the problem with that is if everything's a disgrace, then nothing is. When the real disgrace happens, you don't know it happened.
We've used that so many times this year.
Yeah, that's a disgrace.
Yeah.
This is a disgrace.
And there's a couple other terms like that we use almost all the time.
Boy, how do you know when a real disgrace happens?
Yeah.
You wouldn't know.
Well, ask me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are certain things you could say, well, I don't like that, or I think that was a bad move, or I don't understand that. I mean, that's fine. But when you give such harsh words to things, I think this was your Democratic friend, the guy who ran for Congress here, who was one of the first people who said that. You know, if everything is... I think he said atrocity.
Oh.
If everything's an atrocity, then nothing is.
Right, and I'm afraid that we do that a lot. We find words that we like and we kind of hang on. It becomes almost, you remember when girls of a certain age would always say, like, well, it becomes kind of a popular thing, and you use that. And if there's one thing, I'm a devout believer in freedom of the press. But if there is one, and I will stand up for the press people to say what they believe to be honestly the truth. But there is one thing that they've done this year, and they have way overused hyperbole on a lot of situations, just because it's been such a rough year to get through.
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting to me when the press takes such a hard opinion about a person. Now, see, I think situations are different. If you're going to comment on a situation, usually people are not going to get angry at you because they say, well, that's how that person feels. But when you attack somebody directly as the press, I'm not, you can, in your own personal life, do what you want to do. But when you attack somebody personally, then you cannot get angry when people say you're biased. Because if you've called somebody out by name and attacked them, then we do think you're biased.
I used to watch Morning Joe all the time. I liked it. Even though Joe is was a very devout Republican, I liked watching the show. But they are always running everybody down, and I just get tired of listening to people being run down, so I don't watch it anymore.
Well, I wonder if people ever understand that when you come on and have nothing positive to say about, if you have two, I mean, instead of saying names here, I'm going to say, let's say you have two flavors of ice cream. Now, what I'm really doing is talking about people here, but I just don't want to use any names.
Well, butter pecan's the best.
Let's say you have strawberry and vanilla. You have strawberry and vanilla, and there they are, and every morning you come on and tell me how much you hate strawberry. You hate it. It's awful. It's always doing the wrong thing. You don't like strawberry. Strawberry's an atrocity. Okay, well, then when you tell me how great vanilla is, I don't believe you, because I know you're only saying that because you hate strawberries so much.
Yeah, and it gets really boring to hear you say you hate strawberry all the time.
Yes, I mean, we get it. We understand you don't like strawberry. There's no doubt about it. You won't buy it. We get it. We don't have to hear it over and over and over.
I try not to do that, but I know I'm guilty of doing that about certain politicians, so.
Well, I mean, I think people can do what. I'm not telling people what to do.
I'm on just, the air, so
right. But I'm just saying that if you go to somebody who has a slanted opinion, you probably don't expect to get a clear viewpoint. You know, this happens in regular life too. Like, okay, if somebody doesn't like. This happens in marriage a lot. If somebody doesn't like your husband,
how would you know?
Oh, you watch it. You watch. You pay attention.
Okay.
You pay attention to the. If you know somebody doesn't like your husband and or wife, now are you going to go to them for an honest opinion if you're having a problem with your husband or wife? If you know they don't like them,
only if I want them to tell me how bad they are.
Exactly. Yeah. So why wouldn't that translate into politics?
Yeah.
Into life? If you know they hate that person, you don't go to them for a real opinion.
Well, I go to MSNBC probably more than 50% of the time for my news. But I have found that I've gotten really... I started to think, wait a minute, they can't always be right. So I've actually started, and I have watched Fox News occasionally anyway, but I've started adding other stations, CNN, and I try not to go to the new ones that are out, like, what is it, ONNA or what, all the new conspiracy ones. And that's another term that's getting overused, conspiracy theories.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know why more people don't come on the air and say, I was wrong.
Yeah.
I was wrong. That wasn't right. And we reported that wrong. So this is what the true story is. And we're sorry.
I wonder if I've ever done that.
Well, I think people don't do it because, number one, they don't want to admit they're wrong. And number two, they don't do it because they think it makes them look stupid.
Well, and I think probably if you think it, if you're strong, if you believe it strongly enough that you'll say it on the air, you're probably going to be really, it's going to be really difficult for you to change your opinion.
Well, and you know, I hope one day we're able again to understand what is opinion and what is fact. Nothing wrong with opinion, but there are opinions and there are facts, and sometimes they don't overlap.
Do you have a favorite channel that you watch that has the least amount of opinion for news?
For news. I have to think.
You got a phone call. Maybe you can take the ask phone call afterwards. Here.
A caller, hold on. We'll be back in 1 minute. Stay on the line.
I've got my milk and my bowl and my saucer.
Sounds like you're getting ready for breakfast. What are you having?
Well, I'm having a bowl of golden grams with a side of toast with golden butter and a nice golden glass of apple juice.
I should have known. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Scott and Glenn back here with you. About 14 minutes left in the program. Let's go to the phone line. Go ahead, caller.
I'm sorry, but I'm calling about see if they're going to have the New Year's Eve thing uptown.
No, they're not this year. No, they did cancel that this year.
Pop and drop or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I love your radio station.
Thank you. Thanks. I thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.
Stay well.
Good New Year.
Bye-bye.
Happy New Year. What a nice lady.
Call us
and tell us she likes us. But yes, that the pop and drop, which is one of my favorite things that we did, has been canceled, and probably rightfully so. I used to go down there every year. I had a different public relations thing, like a necklace that glowed in the dark or a ball that glowed in the dark, that sort of thing, and we gave them away. There was a lot of close contact at that.
You know, I covered the first one on the air. And
then you saw me fire off my confetti cannon.
Well, I'll tell you what. It was one of the... I never did it again. Because it was one of the worst things I was ever... Well, what happened was, it was the first year, I can remember the first year they did it.
It was pretty cold,
It was a cold, it snowed as soon as it was over.
Yeah.
2007. It was 2007 going into 2008. That was the first year. And that year they were dropping it, why, I have no idea, but they were dropping it right at the end of the Prospect Street overpass.
Yeah, they did.
Why?
I have no idea.
How that ever got you.
I wasn't in charge of that.
There wasn't a lot of PR going into that first event.
No.
So the morning, New Year's Eve morning, the program director came to me of the station I was at that point and said, because I was on the AM station, and the AM would have been the station that would have covered it, and they said, could you cover this? And I thought, well, I guess I can be back here tonight at midnight. So there was no plan. There had been no talk of anything. So it was the program director at the station running the board and me down at the end of the Prospect Street overpass in the Busby Park doing nothing. I mean, standing there waiting for this ball to drop. And there was hardly anybody down there the first year because it had not been promoted very well.
No.
And the ball was weaving and blowing.
Yes, it was. I remember that.
Because the wind was blowing. And I'm trying to paint the picture for the radio audience. And here's what, I'll never forget it. What's the bar right up the street from Busby Park? It's right next to...
Someplace else?
Is that what it... Yeah, whatever it was 12 years ago, if it had the same name, it's a bar.
Okay.
And on New Year's Eve, people drink pretty good.
Yeah.
So here's what happened. So the program director's back at the studio. We're getting ready to count down. Now, he's going by the clock in the studio because he's feeding me things in my ear about where we are from the, because we want to count it down. And this ball's blowing back and forth, and nobody can see it. So I said, okay, start at 10, 10 seconds till the new year. So I'm counting down with the audience, you know, and they're going to play.
I know where we're going.
Yeah. Well, but no, but there was, so we're counting it down. We're going 10, 9, 8, and the people in Busby Park are counting it with
them. Oh, you were lined up with them.
We were lined up.
Oh, well, fantastic.
10, 9, 8, 7, and we got to about 7, and everybody came out of the bar and started at 10. So what you heard was 7, 10, 6, 9, 8. Oh, it was bad. And then just Happy New Year, and they blew the thing up, and the ball still hadn't hit the ground. It was not good.
It got better as it went along.
Oh, I went down a couple years later, like 5 years later, and it was much better. They moved it to a parking lot, which was a much better idea, and they did drop it right.
Right, and the crowd could stand across the street from the parking lot, so everybody could see the ball and stuff. Yeah, I like the idea. I think it's, and I like the fact that Marion is trying new things to enhance our face.
You know, I remember one year we did try to cover it with this station, but it was so cold. I think it was the first year we were on the air. It was like zero.
It's December 31st. Yeah,
but it's not always like it. I had never seen temperature, and nobody was down there.
Yeah.
Nobody was down there.
Well, I participated in a popcorn, peanut push once when it was 4 degrees. You don't want to be down on your knees when it's 4 degrees.
That's true, but you know, those things happen during the day, and there's something about daylight that will get people there. When it's midnight and it's below zero, and you just don't want to be standing there watching a ball.
You know what surprised me is how the first year, not a lot of kids showed up, but a lot of kids started showing up. I kept saying it was because I was giving them away free glow-in-the-night stuff, but I don't think that was really the reason. I think moms and dads just wanted to share that with their kids, and I like it. I'm not going to go down there. I wouldn't have gone down there this year with COVID and everything, but I'm glad they decided not to do it.
Well, I think it's nice. You know, anything that you can do is nice, but I haven't been in a long, long time, so I don't know how it's been the last few years.
Is it just me, or are there a lot of new businesses coming downtown?
You know, I don't know, because some have went out. I really don't know what the ratio is.
Yeah, I don't think we'll know for sure until we all have shots. Like dogs. But there seem to be a lot of new businesses downtown. Have you gone to the new grocery thingy?
You know, I haven't. We had the guy on the morning they opened, and it was interesting to learn about what was down there, but I haven't went in. And I have passed it a few times, and it doesn't look busy, but that doesn't mean it's not busy during the day.
Well, with everything that's going on right now, a lot of people don't go into places. I'm not going to go. I go to the one little grocery store I go to. Never has anybody in it, so I can go there.
You know, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens downtown. I think there was some nice headway being made.
Yeah, and there's is it Boardwalk or Park Place? Park Place. They're adding new businesses there, so that's kind of nice. And there are some coffee shops and stuff that I haven't noticed before.
You know, last year we did a New Year's Eve show here on the station, actually at midnight, and it's kind of funny because I think they dropped the ball right across the street.
Yeah.
But we were on the air, so nobody went down.
You didn't look through the big picture window?
No, we were on the air. We were counting it down.
No, I meant out of our studios there.
No, but you know what? By the time I left, which would have been 30 minutes later, everything was gone.
Yeah.
Everything was gone, and everybody was gone.
Everybody wants to get out from under the cold and the snow.
Yeah. Although last year, I don't remember it being that bad. Wasn't terrible.
Yeah, I didn't do last year. So, matter of fact, I haven't done it for 3 years, ever since I quit working at retired from the credit union. I haven't been there.
So, hopefully it'll be back next year.
Yeah.
And everything will be fine.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, if you really want to know the truth to this, I have a countdown set for the Popcorn Festival. Just for your information, I thought you'd like to know that we have 252 days, 12 hours, and 5 minutes to go till the Popcorn Festival day.
Now, do you think we'll be all in good shape by then?
Well, it's late. It's early September, so I would think we'll be. I don't know. I hope we'll have a lot of people with shots, and yeah, I hope so.
It's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out.
Yeah, it is. And they're talking about having at least a third of the population inoculated by May, the end of May. So if they can go at that speed, maybe we can have half of the people inoculated by then. I don't know if it'll be safe. I'm going to wear my mask till Dr. Fauci tells me it's
safe. How do you know when to go?
Yeah, that's a great question.
And where do you go? See, I think that's going to be an interesting shakeout as well. If you're a person who is not seeing a doctor regularly or isn't having a health concern, how do you know when you can go and how do you know where you can go?
Well, I'm fortunate or unfortunate, because of my heart attack 10 years ago, I go to a doctor every quarter. So my doctor told me when he thought our inoculations will be available for people over 70 who have other problems. So I know roughly when I think I'm going to get mine. But I don't think, he told me this is not official. No, I don't think people really know. And right now, there are only 2.1 million people that have been inoculated, and there were supposed to be as many as 20 million people inoculated by today.
Right. So, I know the healthcare workers were getting it.
Yeah.
At Marion General.
Yeah, we had them here, yeah.
Yeah. And I know that a caller earlier on said that her daughter worked at a nursing home, and they were getting them during the next few days.
Was that here in town?
Yep. Yeah. So, that's good.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. The more they get it, the better. And I think they're starting right with the nursing home people.
Now, what is the two-shot thing, though? You have to have two, right?
Yeah. And I'm not exactly sure what the time is between the two, and both of them have a different time. Like the Moderna one is a little bit closer, but I think the AstraZeneca or whatever is 21 days, I think, between the shots.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, it's Terry.
Hey.
I'm feeling pretty good, man. I just wanted to call in. I remember the one year we covered that pop, remember it was so cold, it was like bitter cold.
Yeah, that was the year. Really, nobody was down there that year.
Oh my God! It was. Your lips were cold. Your hands. I mean, it was freezing.
And you don't have enough fur to keep you warm.
I know. It was so cold. Oh my goodness! I just wanted to share that memory. We were in our parking lot where our studio is now. If I'm not mistaken, is that right?
I think somewhere down in this area. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It was. I remember the wind was whipping. It was cold. Man.
Yep, I'll let you guys go. I just wanted to see if you remembered that or not.
I do. I remember that well.
All right, man.
Thanks.
Have a good New Year, Terry.
All right, Glenn, take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Terry Tackett. Haven't heard from him for a while. He was out with the COVID.
Yes, he was, yeah.
Doing well.
And that's one of the things I wanted to point out with my cousin passing this past weekend. There are a lot of people that have passed of COVID that aren't being rung up as a COVID death, because either they didn't have an autopsy or they died someplace. Like my son-in-law's mother, who died, she died coming off an elevator, and they just took her away and never did check to see whether she had COVID or not. They did finally do an autopsy on her and determined that probably she did, but not positively, so I don't know.
It's a strange time.
That is terrible, terrible.
Yeah, but it's nice, though, that in every awful situation, you always have these people who do extraordinary things.
Yes.
And that's nice.
Yeah, and one of the things that we've learned a lot, I think, from this this situation. I think we've learned a lot of things from both having a president who was trying to figure out how to put this, extra legal. He really stayed away from doing things the way we expected him to do. And also having COVID, we've learned a lot of things not to do, and I think we'll have legislation that will cause our presidents to be a lot more answerable to law, and I think we'll have a lot of I'm not sure we'll have things passed by law to help on COVID or pandemics, but I think we've learned a lot of how to deal with pandemics, which we didn't know before.
It's going to be interesting to see what we'll find out in 2021. We've still got programming tomorrow, and we've still got a lot of great programming today. Don't forget that Progressive Life with Glenn Coble right after this program, 12:15 to 1 p.m. Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 4:10 to 5 p.m. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon tonight, 6:10 until 7 p.m. on this very station. And Glenn Coble's coming up next. Stay tuned.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For legendary comedian and the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
And as I teased before we went to the break there, we have on today a lady who I've had on the program, I believe, two times before. But every time she comes on, I am excited. She's one of the most kind is the word I think of when I think of this woman, people that I have ever talked to. And I can tell you, I won't name names, but there are people who have been in Hollywood and had a great career who are not as kind as you might think they are. This woman exceeds that you might be. She has the greatest laugh in the world.